Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Homage to the Buddha, the Enlightened One. For this talk, because I have given many talks on other subjects in the last few days, I'm going to just focus on the practice of meditation. But do not get concerned, because this is going to be a practical talk. Down to earth, easy to understand, because in my life I've realized that if one gets too theoretical, then no one understands. And in particular, if you know what you're talking about, it's usually easy to explain it, even to a young child. A famous philosopher once said, if a young child can't understand it, it's not worth saying. In other words, that sometimes that we do couch things in ways which are just far too difficult, and there's no reason why we can't teach things like meditation in a very, very peaceful way, in a very easy to understand way. Because all meditation is learning how to rest and relax. And I'm going to use some similes, some visual similes as well, which help us understand what meditation truly is and its purpose in our life. All of you who are Buddhists will understand that meditation is a central part of the Buddha's teachings. The Buddha became enlightened by meditating, and that has been at the heart of everything to do with Buddhism. I know that these days other religions also meditate, which is wonderful, but the meditation actually started in Buddhism. As it says in the Sanghita Nikaya, it was the Buddha who discovered the meditation. However, to understand what meditation is and its purpose, there's a very simple simile which I will share with you. And it's very helpful because I do have a cup of wonderful Sri Lankan tea in front of me. If I hold this cup of tea and I ask myself how heavy it feels, I notice that the longer I hold it, the heavier it seems. If I keep holding this for about 5 minutes, my arm will start to ache. If I keep holding this for half an hour, I will be in considerable pain. If I keep holding like this for 2 hours, I'll be a very dumb monk. So what should I do when this starts to feel heavy? You put it down. And you do not need to throw it away. You just need to put it down for maybe 1 or 2 minutes. That is all. And then you pick it up again. If you don't believe me, you can try this at home. Now it actually feels lighter. This is what meditation is and how it heals the stress of ordinary people's lives. People experience stress not because they're carrying too many burdens in life. They experience stress because they don't know how to put things down for a few minutes. It does not matter how heavy my cup is. I get aches, I'm in stress, not because of its weight, because I don't know how to put it down from time to time. The weight of my cup symbolizes the number of things you have to do in this world. Your responsibilities, your duties, your work, even your kids, your homework. That is not the problem. Not knowing how to put it down from time to time is the problem. Putting it down is what meditation means. Letting it go, leaving it alone. If we don't learn how to put our burdens down from time to time, if we carry around the worries and concerns of our life for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we experience the results of stress. We get angry at the people we love. We rush about, never finding time for one another. It's an old story of a young boy and his father. The father came home one afternoon after work. His five-year-old was waiting for him. His five-year-old said, "Daddy, Daddy, how much do you earn at work every hour?" And the father said, "That's got nothing to do with you. I'm tired. Be quiet." The five-year-old repeated, "Daddy, how many dollars do you earn every 60 minutes?" "Look, I told you, be quiet. What does a five-year-old want to know about that?" And the third time, the son said, "Daddy, please, how much do you earn an hour?" "Right, that's it. Off to your room." And he sent this poor five-year-old upstairs to his bedroom. It was only because the father was tired. You know what it's like when you're very busy and somebody asks you a question you can't really find a purpose for. But after having a cup of coffee and resting for a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, the father started to feel remorse about being so harsh to his son. So he went up to his son's room, knocked gently on the door and asked to come in. The father said to his son, "Sorry, I shouldn't have been so quick to send you up to your room. I don't know why you asked me that question, but if you really want to know, I earn $20 an hour." His son smiled, reached under his pillow, took out $10 in coins and cash, and then asked his father, "Can I borrow $10, please?" His father almost burst into anger again, but he wasn't going to make the same mistake. He said, "Look, I don't know why you want an extra $10, here it is." And gave it to his son. His son now counted up $20. He then gave it to his father and said, "Daddy, can I now have 1 hour of your time, please?" I think you understand the moral of that little story, that sometimes that we don't spend time with our children because we're too stressed out. And because of that, we don't even spend time with our bodies, which is why we get cancers and other diseases. If you don't know how to put your cup down, if you're always carrying things around, no wonder that things go wrong in your life. Another story about this, the effects of meditation. There was a Sri Lankan man in Perth. He was a person we called a Waisak Buddhist, which term means a person who only goes to the temple once a year for Waisak. The rest of the year you don't see him. A Waisak Buddhist. However, he was an engineer, a civil engineer working for the government. After a while he started coming every week and I wanted to find out why. He told me that in the Department of Minerals and Energy in Western Australia where he was working, his boss was what is called the boss from hell. I'm sure you know such beings. They give you twice as much work as you could possibly do, and they demand it be done by yesterday. And whatever you do, they never thank you. Even if you work very hard to do your very best and do overtime, they just give you more. And one mistake and they really shout at you. Never one moment of praise, but always criticism, always pushing you, never being friendly, never understanding. The boss from hell. But to his surprise, his boss from hell, a Caucasian Australian, over the space of 3 months, changed. From being a person who was insensitive, demanding, angry, to being a sensitive boss, who was more able to understand the difficulties of the workload which he was given to his workers, subordinates, and could actually accommodate. And when this man did something and a bit of extra work, his boss would now praise him instead of always criticizing him. The change was so pronounced, this Sri Lankan man had to ask him, "You don't mind me asking you, sir, boss, you've changed. What have you been doing?" And this Caucasian Australian said, "Well, I found this wonderful Buddhist temple where they teach meditation." And the Sri Lankan man said, "That's my temple!" He'd been so close to this wonderful resource of stress relief, peace, wisdom and power, but all he'd ever seen was the ceremonies at Waisak. But once he saw in a non-Buddhist Caucasian Australian the results of this Dhamma, he saw how it had changed the boss from hell to being someone he'd like working for. And actually, you work much harder for sensitive bosses than you do for angry ones. When he saw the effect of Dhamma, of truth, of meditation on this person, from that time he came every week. He saw that meditation actually does change your life in many, many ways. And it's not just for gaining these powerful states of enlightenment, it's actually for enhancing your career, your happiness and your health. An example from my own life of how it enhances your progress in your career came from the time when I was a student at university, and this is for all the children here. Life at school and college and university is tough. There's so much competition. If you want to do well, you should come to this temple more and more and learn some meditation. Because I learned meditation when I was about 17 or 18. When I got the first results, positive results of meditation for my career when I was 21 or 20. When I was doing the final examinations at Cambridge University in England in theoretical physics. In those days, the examinations were called finals. The reason they were called finals because all of your university career would be measured in one series of examinations for which you'd pass or you would fail. Everything which went before counted for nothing. And everything was down to a series of examinations on 6 days. There was a morning paper, 3 hours long, 1 hour for lunch, and another paper in the afternoon for 3 hours. From Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and even Saturday. 6 days in a row. That was stress. I was told that my future depended upon success in those examinations. If only I would have known I was going to become a monk, I would have needed to worry so much. But, unlike any other student, I had my competitive edge, which is why I did well. After the 3-hour morning examination, I never went for lunch. I went up to my room, sat on my cushion, and meditated. This is what happened. Not only does it show the benefits of meditation, it also shows how meditation works. When I sat down, closed my eyes, made myself comfortable, the first thing which came into my mind was the morning exam. What have I done? Did I answer that question correctly? Should I have added more explanation? Of course, everybody knows that the past cannot be changed. The paper was already in the examiner's room. I could not change it now. Even though you know it's dumb to think about the past, many of you can't stop it. It was only because I had trained in meditation for about 2 or 3 years by this time, I could let go of the morning examination, the past. Can't be done, can't change anything now, it's all finished. So I never worried at all about the morning exam. As soon as I let go of the past, the next thing which came into my mind was the afternoon exam. The future, should I get up some books and do some more study? Should I swat up, do some revision at the last moment? But I always remembered something. The past is so uncertain. Whatever I swatted up in the past, whenever I looked up half an hour or 10 minutes before an examination, that subject never came up. The future is that uncertain. So the next thing I did was to let go of worry about the afternoon examination. I reminded myself this was lunchtime, not exam time. This was a time for resting, not working. Only the training in letting go of past and future, otherwise known as meditation, enabled me just to come into the moment and to rest from all this thinking and worrying. As soon as I let go of the past and future, when I came into the present moment, the next thing which I noticed shocked me. I noticed my body was shaking. I had never realized I was a nervous person before. It's understandable. This was final examinations. What would you expect? But what shocked me was I hadn't noticed it. So often we don't notice what our body is doing because we're too concerned with worrying about the past or worrying about the future, that we're just oblivious to what's happening now. As soon as I realized my body was shaking, I could just relax it. When my mind was in the moment, it could do something about it. So the body just relaxed. After it relaxed, another level came to my attention. And again, it was surprising, but when thinking about it, understandable. I realized I was just so tired. My brain had no gas left, to use a metaphor. It was out of gas. I'd used so much energy in the morning with that morning examination and studying the night before. I was drained of energy. It's fascinating to realize that how your energy levels are not monitored because you never look. When you have low mental energy, that's a great cause for stress and for anger and for all the negativities of life. Noticing that I was drained, understandably so, all I needed to do was to rest, to be still. Meditation, stillness. When you are still, energy comes back. As my teacher Ajahn Chah once said, which is absolute truth, to gain energy in your body you have to exercise. But to get energy in the mind you have to be still. The more still you are, the more energy comes into your mind. So I was still. I only meditated for half an hour, but by the end of that half an hour, my mind was energized, my body relaxed. So I went into the afternoon examination as if I just had a wonderful sleep, as if it was the first exam of the season, relaxed and even happy. My friends told me afterwards that I was the only one they saw going into the examination room with a smile on their face. They thought I was cheating. In a way I was. Now, I didn't know the exam paper or the questions coming up, but I certainly had an advantage in my examination technique. And I did extremely well. Simply because I'd rested, become peaceful, allowed energy to come into my mind, so I could do the job. So much of failure in life is because we are not efficient with the way we use our body and mind. Training in meditation is training your mind. So all you kids, if you want to do well at school and have an easy time with your homework, if you want to be able to remember what the teacher says at high school and college, try please some meditation. Train your mind. And then you'll find that when the lecturer is speaking, you can be so still, so alert, that whatever is said goes into the brain and is remembered. This training the mind in attention is also training the mind in absorbing information. You can imagine a sponge which you have in the kitchen. If your sponge is damp or full of water, it can't soak up anything. But if your sponge is dry, if there's no moisture left, it can soak up a lot easily. In the same way, if your mind is still and empty and free, it's amazing just what you can actually draw up. So when you're listening, if you really want to learn quickly, if you are a business person and you're reading a report, if you train the mind in meditation, it's so easy to read because you only need to read it once and everything is absorbed. This is why people who meditate have a competitive advantage in the world. But I did mention also that when one meditates, one becomes more sensitive to one's body. You start to feel what's happening in your body, and you can take remedial action, which is why that some of our monks in California, I'm not sure if this is the same in New York State, but certainly in California, if you can get a monk to sign a declaration, an official declaration, that you are a meditator, then you do get a hefty reduction in your health premiums. It's amazing what you can get from coming to a Buddhist temple. You save a lot of money. And the reason you get a reduction in your health premiums is because every scientific study has proven that people who meditate don't get so sick. And if they do get sick, they get healthy pretty quickly. If they have an operation, they heal much faster. Study after study after study has shown that, so even the health funds will give you a rebate if you are a meditator. So, if you're having trouble paying the bills, you should come here much more often. You save a lot of money coming to a Buddhist temple. But not only that, here's an interesting story for you. I'm not sure if you've heard this one. One of the other benefits from meditation. I don't know how many of you have got a computer. I don't know how often it crashes. Listen to this story. There's a Thai monk, a very great meditating monk, who visits the US quite often. We got this story last year when some of our monks picked him up from the airport in San Francisco. They noticed in his passport, a Thai passport, he had a diplomatic visa for the rest of his life. And he wondered, what is a Thai Buddhist monk doing with a diplomatic visa for life, allowing him to come in and out of this country as often as he wanted, whenever he wanted? You know the diplomatic visas, you go through a special channel, you don't have to queue up with everyone else. So they wanted to find out why. He told the following story, which was checked out, was true. About a year and a half ago, maybe, around that time, maybe earlier, I'm not quite sure, in Houston, Texas, NASA was installing a mainframe in their headquarters, in their center. Many, I don't know, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of computer equipment. After installing it, having programmed it, they could not get it to work. They got every expert they could from the country to try and fix the problem. And one expert mentioned, if we can't fix it, perhaps it might be something supernatural. They heard there was a monk in the neighborhood with great meditation and powers. So they invited him to come and chant and meditate in the main computer room of NASA, which he did. And as soon as he was finished, the computer worked perfectly. And out of gratitude, they gave him this diplomatic visa for life to come and go whenever he wishes. Which shows, if you come to this temple and learn some meditation, well, next time your computer crashes, no trouble. It's amazing. This is what this meditation can do. So the next thing of this talk is, how do you meditate? Meditation is the simplest thing to do. It only doesn't work when you make it so complicated. Again, I'll teach meditation using a visual simile. Here again is my cup. This is like my mind. Now the job of meditation is to make things nice and still. So there's no more movement anymore, no more thinking, no more remembering the past or the future. When everything gets so still, because peace only comes from stillness. So for many months now, ever since I thought up this simile, I've tried to develop the ability to hold my cup absolutely still. Now I'm focusing and concentrating on this cup, trying to keep it absolutely still. For those sitting close, you can see that this cup is still moving. And you just have to try harder to hold it still. Actually, the harder I try, the more it moves. I've been trying this for many months and I still can't hold this cup still. So frustrating. That's when people try and meditate, they get so frustrated they can't keep their mind still. Because they're doing it the wrong way. If you want to keep this cup absolutely still, it's the easiest thing in the world to do. All you need to do is... yeah, let it go, put it down. Now look at it. It's absolutely still. And there's no effort at all. It's the easiest thing in the world. So when you're meditating, instead of trying to control your mind, disengage, let it go, put it down, and you find your mind becomes still all by itself. This is how we meditate.